I would mention two things before I get into the lesson tonight. At our business meeting, we discussed the need for some light at that end of the parking lot and the end of the building. And we're going to look into that, and possibly we'll see if we can get a pole put out there and a light on it that will light that whole end of the parking lot. We need to be concerned about that, and we addressed that. Everything else that was discussed at the business meeting was basically details of things that are going on, and we will inform you of things in the bulletin as things develop, if we need to in any of those. Second thing I want to mention has to do with the letter that Terry referred to earlier from Tennessee Children's Home. The last few years, instead of bringing items, we've been just buying one item, if you remember. And since last Sunday was a special contribution for the Tennessee Children's Home, we did so well on that, I would suggest that we wait a few weeks. Don't think there's a time element there that's pushing. And I will check with them and see what item they especially need, and then we will talk about that. And maybe, as we've been doing, we've been pitching in a little bit, and I go to Sam's and buy several of whatever it is that they need. So I would assume we will take care of that way again. And at least I'd rather do it that way than to start bringing items and so forth. It just seems easier to do it that way. But since we gave so much last week to Tennessee Children's Home, I'd suggest that we wait to at least down in October. Might even connect it with Thanksgiving and have sort of a Thanksgiving gift to them, but we'll stay on that and take care of that. Well, I think this makes the seventh or eighth lesson dealing with clouds. And I was looking today at some of the preparation I have already made, and we'll have at least 7 or 8 other lessons. We'll have about 16 in all when we get through with our cloudy situation on Sunday nights. In Acts, the first chapter, verses 8 through 11, Jesus told the apostles as he was meeting with them, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." In the last few verses of 1 Thessalonians 4, where he's talking about the end of time, it says that we shall be caught up together to meet him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Here is an occasion in Acts after Jesus had died, buried, and resurrected, been on earth for some 40 days, had prepared his apostles to take care of their responsibilities. The Bible says that he ascended. He literally left the earth and went up into the clouds, and the clouds received him out of their sight. They could not see him anymore. Literally, he was beyond the clouds. He's coming back in like manner. There is no indication that he will ever set foot upon this earth again, because when he returns, this earth will be in the process of being destroyed and melting with fervent heat. There is a sense in which he will come back to the area of the earth, because we're going to be caught up, those that remain at the time that the end of time comes, will be caught up to meet him in the clouds. The clouds being a part of the earth itself and the elements of the earth, he'll come back to the nearness of the earth in order for us to meet him in the clouds. And it says that he's coming in the same manner in which he left. He was here and he left and went beyond their sight. He has continued to be beyond our sight. We have not seen him since in person. And yet he is coming back. He's coming in the clouds, and we'll have a lesson on that toward the end of the series. But tonight we're talking about beyond the clouds. I want to deal with two ideas in this lesson, beyond the clouds. One dealing with that which is literally beyond the clouds that we've never seen. And then in a practical sense, talk about how there can be something that is better beyond the cloudy days that we have in our lives as we live on this earth. We have cloudy days in our lives. There are those days of sickness, death, financial loss, failure, problems on the job, problems at school. And we certainly have days in our lives, all of us have experienced it, where we would describe it as a cloudy day. And yet we as Christians, tying into the idea that we began this morning, that there is hope, that there is something that's better, need to realize that there is something that is better beyond the clouds. There was a Friday when Jesus was crucified. That, in a figurative sense, was just about as cloudy a day as you could have. In fact, as we read about the friends of Jesus and the apostles and the associates with Jesus, their lives seemed to be at a low place, about as low as you could get. They had just lost their leader. But after Friday came Sunday. And the same one that was put in the grave was resurrected from the grave. And that which had seemed such a day of gloom now became a day of victory, because there was something beyond the clouds. As I look back at my life, and I'm sure you can do the same thing, I remember times when death has taken its toll. Those days were very sad. I think we could describe them as cloudy days in life. I look back at a few times that I have been rather sick. And in facing an illness, there was a cloudy day in life. I look back at some times when finances were in much worse condition than they are now. And there were some times that you began to wonder, or I began to wonder, if I would have the means to pay the bills that had to be paid. I'm sure that each one of you can look back at your life and you can think about those cloudy days that have existed. We need to believe that there is something on the other side of the cloudy day, that there is something beyond the clouds. I mentioned to you this morning that the first time I ever boarded an airplane was at the airport here in Jackson. I was a student at Freed Hardeman. I was selected as the state president of the student NEA, the student group of teachers. And I flew out of here to go to a convention, the national convention. I had a rather unusual set of experiences on that. I left the airport here at Jackson three times before I ever got in the air. And something was wrong with the plane. I guess I didn't know enough to really be scared. But we went out and taxied out, and then we had to come back in and wait a while. We did that the third time we got in the air, and I flew into Memphis. Got on the plane in Memphis, and we went out to the end of the runway and had to turn around and go back and have something done on it. I left the airport five times. To get into the air twice, the first time I ever flew. But I never will forget the time that I left the airport here in Jackson. It was sort of a rainy day, cloudy. You could not see very far. You could look up and it looked as if the clouds were very close to you. And when we finally went up through those clouds, the sun was shining. There wasn't anything above us that was cloudy in any way whatsoever. I saw firsthand what was beyond the clouds. I've never seen firsthand what is beyond the clouds as far as where Jesus went. Neither have you. My dad never saw firsthand what was above the clouds as far as an airplane ride was concerned, because he never boarded an airplane in his life. I told him about my experience, and he had an idea and believed it to be true, since he believed I would tell him the truth, of what it looked like above the clouds. But he had that idea based on faith, not on sight. I had it based on sight. He had it based on faith. And when you and I look at Jesus having left and gone up into the clouds and think about where he is today, what we know about that is based entirely on faith and not on sight. Jesus has not revealed to us all the details of what's beyond the clouds. He did not come back to this earth and report about what is beyond the clouds. He did come back from the grave, and he had something to say about what had happened, and at least the Bible has something to say about when his soul was in the Hadean world and he came back. But Jesus has not returned from the time after his ascension to tell us the details of what's on the other side of the clouds. And we do not have in the Bible any revelation by those who were raised from the dead to tell us what is beyond the clouds. Lazarus was raised from the dead and lived for a period of time before he died, never to be raised again, to come back to this earth. But we do not have one word in the Bible from Lazarus telling us about what was beyond the time of death. Dorcas was raised from the dead, but she did not leave us an account of what is beyond the clouds. Others have been raised from the dead, and yet not a one of them has given us one word about what happened between the time of death and the time that they were brought back to life. Now, it's not uncommon on a regular basis to hear people say that I died and went to heaven and saw these things and came back, or I was in the process of what I thought was going to be death and I got close enough to see these things and now I'm back in life, and they'll report certain things that they have seen. I don't believe a word of that, as far as it being a description of heaven. I do believe that each one of those persons had some kind of an experience. I had an experience last night in a dream. It seemed real to me, and there was not a thing about that dream that was real. I dream almost every night. I don't know what that means, and if I was going to talk to you about explaining dreams, it wouldn't take me but just a few seconds and I'd sit down. I cannot explain dreams, but I can explain to you that I have had many, many experiences during that time. I have talked to a lot of people who became unconscious and maybe stayed in an unconscious state for a period of time. They have related to me experiences that they had during that time. I have no doubt that there was some kind of experience. I don't doubt that at all. In the same sense that we experience what appears to be reality. In fact, there are times that I can dream in Technicolor, and it's just as real as it can be in the process of my mind. And yet there's not a thing in the world real about it. I have awakened a few times and sort of looked around to see if some of those things that seemed so real were there. They were not. We have not had any revelation on the part of someone who was raised from the dead or had a near-death experience to come back and God revealed that to us in his word. And it just seems a little bit unusual that God would not tell us about any of that in the revelation of His Word, and then allow people, maybe who are not even related to God spiritually, come back and tell us about what they saw. As far as I know, we have no record of those who have gone, as Jesus did, beyond the clouds, who have come back and told us exactly what's there. However, we do have some indications in the Word of God that helps us through faith to believe what is there. In the same sense that I mentioned my dad a few minutes ago, who through faith believed that the sun was shining above the clouds even though he had not seen it. You and I, through faith, have some terms given us to describe what is on the other side of the clouds. Before I get into that, let me reemphasize the point that I just made and strengthen it by sharing with you a couple of scriptures. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 9 through 12, it is written, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Now that's pretty good evidence that what I said is a few minutes ago is right. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God." He said, "Eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, what God has prepared for them that love him." In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 4, Paul, who had an experience of going into what he called the third heaven, and we believe that to be comparable to what's referred to as paradise, and he returned, he said he didn't know whether he went there literally or whether it was a vision, but he did say this in verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now you keep that in mind when you read or hear about some of these that explain a near-death experience, and that they saw Jesus and they saw the Lord and they saw God and they saw all of these things. Paul said what he heard when he was there, they are unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. And if God's not going to let one as close to him as Paul utter and describe what he saw in that realm, do you think he's going to let people that are not even Christians describe the reality of what is there? I don't think so. But we do have these points. We're told by Paul that what's there is better than what we have here. He said he was in a strait betwixt the two. It would be far better for him to depart and be with the Lord. Now that's beyond the clouds. That's where the Lord is. It's indicated that he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And we see him in the book of Revelation in figurative language. It helps us to have a little understanding of that. But he said, this is going to be something that is better. We can believe that through faith. 1 Peter 1:4 says that it's an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and reserved for Christians. He mentions the word inheritance. That means there is something there that's going to belong to me, something that's going to belong to you, that it's going to be an inheritance from God. And that word inheritance gives us an indication. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, "So shall we ever be with the Lord." I don't know exactly where the Lord is, except that it's indicated that he's at the right hand of God. And by the way, back to these reports that we hear, it's interesting that all their reports are in physical terms when we're dealing with a spiritual place called heaven. But anyway, we will be with the Lord. John 14 says that it's a mansion or at least a room that's capable of taking care of our needs. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And the idea there is that it is something that is so much better than what we have here. Revelation 14:13 describes it as a place of rest. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So through the eye of faith, based upon the revelation of God's word, we can think of that that's beyond the clouds as a place of rest. Revelation 21 really describes a situation where there will be no problems and no trouble, no sorrows, no tears, no heartaches. That's hard for us to understand because we've lived in a setting where we've had all of those things. And we all have the assured safety that we will be in a safe condition, a saved condition as well, with God for an eternity. And I've just touched the hem of the garments of passages that give us an insight through faith, not with sight, with physical eyes. Nobody's come back to tell us about that. But through the eye of faith and the revelation of God's word, where we can talk about that being a better place, how, as Paul said, it would be better for us to go and be with Christ where he is now than to be here on earth. And so as we stand on this side of the clouds, as the apostles did in Acts 1, we at least have some revelation to help us to appreciate how beautiful that place must be. And we can know enough about it to know that we want to go there, that we want to be there. And if this earthly house of the tabernacles dissolves, 2 Corinthians 5, we have a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We believe that it's there. Just like the one who's never seen above the clouds on this earth believes it's there because it's been revealed to him by someone who has seen it. We believe in what is beyond the clouds because of the revelation of God's word. But I think there is something else that we need to understand, and that's to go back to that point I talked a little bit about in the earlier part of the lesson. And that is, there is something beyond the clouds when it comes to the cloudy days that we have in our lives. Can you imagine the heart of Jacob from the time that he was told that Joseph had been killed by wild animals until the time that he was reunited with that son? Can you imagine the cloudy day of the day he got the information, false information, but that which he believed to be true? And can you imagine the cloudiness in his life, though there were so many good things in his life, the cloudiness that was there because of his loss of that son? And yet there was sunshine beyond the clouds. There came the day when he was reunited with Joseph. Can you imagine, as you read the book of Job, how cloudy the days must have been for him? Talked a little bit about this in our class this morning. The suffering through which Job went. Even the great man Job began to wonder why these things were happening and questioned God to the extent that God answered him. Job lived a portion of his life at least under the clouds. It was a cloudy day. But read that last chapter of the book of Job and see what happened to Job when it was over. When he had remained faithful and defeated the devil and everything that the devil was doing in his direction, there was something that came after the cloudy day. Think about the prodigal son's father. It must have been a cloudy day when his son left home. I don't know whether he ever heard anything about the condition of his son while he was gone from home, but think about the joy that was there when that son returned home. You remember there's such joy that he called his friends in and they rejoiced and had a time of thanksgiving and rejoicing because the son that, as he said, was dead is now alive. Think about what was beyond the clouds for all of these. Back to the time that Jesus was crucified, Look at Mary Magdalene in John 20. When Jesus appeared to her and spoke to her, she was so despondent that she evidently didn't even look or pay attention to Jesus and thought it was the gardener. And yet look what happened when she realized the reality of Jesus' resurrection. There was the sun beyond the clouds. Look at the two men on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. They were so saddened as they were traveling from one place to another that they didn't realize for a long time that it was Jesus that had joined them and was talking to them. They had gone through the time of the cross. They'd gone through the time of losing their leader and the one that meant so much to them in the crucifixion. But then look what happened when they realized who he was. They ran back to where they had come from to tell the people about what had happened. And that sadness turned immediately to gladness and joy because there was something beyond the clouds. I think you and I need that in life on a daily basis. We all have times of problems. Some of us have more than others. Some of us have more problems with sickness than others. Some of us may have more problems with financial situation than others. And yet we need to have enough faith in God that if we trust in Him and serve Him, that according to Romans 8:28, all things will work together for good to them that love the Lord. I cannot explain why certain things happen any more than Job could explain why those things could have happened to him. I cannot explain why things have happened to me personally. When I look back at the moment that I heard that my father-in-law had been killed and my wife and mother-in-law were in the hospital, I don't understand why that happened till this day. But I can see that over a period of time, there has been sunshine on the other side of the clouds. When I lost my wife on June the 17th, 2010, that was one of the cloudiest days in my life as far as the reality of the situation was concerned. And I cannot explain everything today, but a little over 4 years later, I can see the rays of sunshine that I couldn't see on that day as I put things into focus. And I think you can do the same thing. What I'm saying is that we need to learn to trust in God to believe that there is something beyond the clouds. I don't care how cloudy the day outside, how black the clouds, how low the clouds, how much the rain, I know that just up there, a short distance, relatively speaking, there's nothing but sunshine. Why can I not have the same attitude toward life itself? Even on the cloudiest day, when it seems like that everything has caved in and all the props have been knocked out, that I can know that there is something up there beyond the clouds. There is somebody up there beyond the clouds. And that things are going to be better someday. It must have been quite an impressive situation when those apostles stood there and saw the Lord that they had just seen crucified and now had seen him resurrected and been with him for a few days, saw him go through those clouds and know, and I don't know whether they completely understood it, but I think they knew to some extent that we will never see him again in this life unless it's the end of time. But they believed enough in what was beyond the clouds that every one of them but one died a martyr's death for the cause of Christ, with John being the only one that died a death of natural causes. I was reading an article this past week that someone had put together with the history as we have it, not in the Bible. We have one or two in the Bible. We know what happened to James, the brother of John. It's recorded in the Bible. But every one of those apostles was martyred or crucified, killed in some way. Not every one of them was crucified, but killed for the cause of Christ except John. They believed enough in what was beyond the clouds, having seen their Lord ascend through those clouds and the promise made to them that he's coming back again. They believed that strongly enough to literally give their lives for the cause of Christ. And you and I need to believe that strongly enough to look beyond the down times that we have in life and believe there is something beyond the clouds even here, that things can be better. And if not here, that there's something that's better, that the sunshine is there. We haven't seen it, but we've been told through the Bible that it's there, and because of that, we strongly believe it. Jesus went beyond the clouds. Jesus is there at the right hand of God beyond the clouds. And he's going to come back, and we will be caught up together to meet him in the clouds, and we will not prevent those that have already died from meeting him and enjoying that wonderful spiritual sunshine which is beyond the clouds. We ought to want to go to heaven. We ought to want to go to heaven badly enough to live the Christian life here. That's why I have for 60 years been trying to persuade people to become Christians and live a Christian life. Because I believe, folks, there is something beyond the clouds. I believe there is something beyond the cloudy day, and that can be received by every faithful Christian. If you've not been, as a penitent believer, baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, to be in him and have that promise, or if you've not been living as a faithful Christian, again, I say not perfect, but faithful, then you need to come as together we stand and sing.
Jesus is calling.